from. Wow, that's a lot of baggage. Are you checking in all of that baggage with us today?
Yeah.
You would like it to fly with you to each and every single destination?
Yeah, that's bringing it with me.
I'm going to need you to weigh all of that baggage on the scale here, please, for us.
There we go.
Your baggage is heavy.
Oh.
Wow, it appears even your baggage has its own baggage. So in our tier system for baggage pricing, yours is marked as excessive, which means that your checked-in baggage comes to a total of $150 in the addition to the $25 travel fee, and the carry-on that you're taking will be an additional $75, not to mention the overages, bringing your grand total to $525.78 with us. How will you be paying?
Debit, I guess. Okay. Sure.
Is there anything else we can do today to make your experience more accommodating or comfortable for you and or all of your baggage?
No. You just please take my baggage.
Good morning, Sandals Church. You guys are way more awake, man. The 8 a.m. service was like, it was horribly awkward. So glad that you guys are here. Remember, Sundays, it's coffee, then Christ. Coffee, then Christ. So make sure you come with a great attitude. Hey, man, anybody ever lost your temper? Raise your hands. Been angry? Anybody do it on the way to church today? Amen, isn't that great? Man, you're going to be so bummed at the sermon today. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, we almost got divorced on Palmarita. Man, you came to the right place. Praise God you didn't turn around. That's what my wife and I would do. We'd just go home. We're watching online today. I'll be like, you need to write that down. Listen to what the pastor said. Man, we all get angry. And you know what the sad thing is? Oftentimes, the people that we love the most, we're the most angry at. Our kids, hold an infant. I would never be angry at you. Give it a week. Right? Newlyweds, we just love each other. So give it a year. Right? It's amazing, right? Man, we live in a culture that's full of rage. Literally toxic rage. That's our culture, man. Everybody's angry at everybody. Everybody's blaming everybody. Today's topic is called air rage. They're having to train stewardesses, flight attendants to tackle people. That's a part of your training. What happened to the good old days when they just told us how we might live in case of an accident, remember? I mean, it was lies, but it felt good. It felt good, right? In case of a water landing. It's called a crash. It's not a water landing. Listen, I don't know where you are today, but man, I know some of you have been wounded, you've been hurt, and you're carrying around this baggage. Some of you today, you brought a suitcase full of anger with you to church. I got good news. I know a man who can carry that baggage. I know a man who deals with excessive baggage. Some of you, you can't even carry all your baggage. You had to leave some in the trunk. Some of you, you got a whole garage full of anger. Some of you, you've got to rent a storage facility to handle your anger. Let me tell you something. I know a guy by the name of Jesus, man, and he says, bring me your anger. Bring it all. I can handle it all. And my prayer is that at the end of service today, you're ready to release what's destroying your life. Let's pray together and ask God to deal with our baggage. Lord, we come to you, Lord, as broken people carrying baggage. Some of us, Lord, are in the middle of a divorce, Lord, and we're angry. Some of us have raised children, God, and they've driven us nuts, and we're angry. Some of us, God, are just angry. Deal with it today. Deal with it today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna look at a sermon today. Not my sermon, thank God. Some of you hate my sermons. We're gonna look at a sermon that Jesus preaches. And it begins with this. Yay, oh, Jesus is so awesome. And it ends with, kill him. That's how some of you feel, right? Point number one, that was pretty good. Point number two, we're gonna kill you, Pastor. We're gonna go to another church. Now, let me just say this. If you're not offended today, you didn't listen. Some of you, in the middle of your notes on your phone, you're going to start Googling other great churches in the Inland Empire. But listen to me. I believe Jesus has a word to speak to you today. And let me just say this. If Jesus never offends you, you've never listened. Because God doesn't tell us what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear. It says Jesus came to the village of Nazareth. You say, where's Nazareth? Doesn't matter. Just call it no-name Nazareth. Remember a couple months ago when the Korean guy was gonna bomb us? My kids were all worried. Dad, we're gonna die. We're not gonna die. Nobody's gonna bomb Riverside. they don't know where it is. Guys, the only way we're dying is if somebody misses. Today at 11, they aim for LA and hit Riverside. There's not even a river. You can't even find it on, where's the Riverside? There's a creek running through, right? I mean, it's just sad. That's Nazareth. When they found out Jesus was from Nazareth, this is what they said. What good can come from Nazareth? When I go to Newport Beach, people are always like, you pastor in Riverside? I'm like, yeah. They're like, where's your gang tattoos? I said, step outside and I'll show you. Right, everybody's afraid of the Inland Empire. Oh, that's serious out there. That's Nazareth, man. Nazareth is a no-name town. A lot of people don't know this, but the word Nazareth in Hebrew is Nazrite. And here's why it's important, because the prophet Isaiah prophesied that God would raise up a Nazrite. And here's what it means. It simply means new shoot. So if you have olive trees are amazing. They can live almost forever, thousands of years. If you go to Israel, there's still olive trees that were there when Jesus was there, right? You go to the Garden of Gethsemane, that simply means olive press. It's a place where they pressed olives because there were olive trees. When you go there, these old, old trees, thousands of years old, have these new shoots shooting out of the bottom of them called Nazrites. Isaiah said, there will come a Nazrite and there'll be a new shoot. And he's gonna do something special in Israel. He's gonna do something amazing in Israel. So when he came to the village of Nazareth, underline this, his boyhood home. His boyhood home. Man, anybody ever gone home? It's not nearly as cool as you remember. Yeah. You ever go back to your grandparents' house? You thought it was huge, and you're like, wow, they live in a box. When I was little, I thought this was fantastic. He went to his boyhood home. He went, if you're a parent, underline, raise your hands if you're a parent, right? Listen to me, underline this. He went as usual to synagogue. It doesn't say he went as usual to the soccer field. You see, if you want to raise your kids to love Jesus, you need to raise your kids like Jesus. They went to synagogue as usual. Some of you guys, you just told your kids today, we're going to church. You're like, what's wrong? Who died? We getting beat? You getting divorced? We dying? What's going on? Did you lose your job again? What happened? Seriously. It says he went to synagogue as usual. As usual. It was his regular practice. As usual, he went to the synagogue. This is the synagogue that he grew up in. Nazareth is a small town. Guess how many synagogues they had? One. So on the Sabbath, he stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet was handed him. Now, some of you are like, this is weird. In the ancient world, you had your local rabbi who taught every Sabbath, every weekend. And if there was a visiting rabbi, the word rabbi means teacher, a visiting teacher, that teacher would be given an opportunity to speak. But here's the setup. You don't let the visiting rabbi prepare. You just give them a scroll and see how they do. Can you imagine if I told you next weekend you're preaching and you say, on what? I said, we'll see. We will see. You would never come to church again. Oh my gosh, there's 66 books. You're like, oh my gosh, I gotta study all of them. So the rabbi, the visiting rabbi, doesn't know from which scroll he's going to teach. So they hand him Isaiah, a controversial scroll, probably the most important scroll in the Hebrew scriptures because it prophesies the coming of the Messiah. So they wanna test this guy. The scroll of the Isaiah prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, and he goes to one of the most controversial texts in the scripture. He doesn't avoid it. He goes after it. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Isaiah's prophecy about the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. You see why people were waiting for the Messiah? They're all poor. They're in Nazareth. It says, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released. You see,
Israel was enslaved by Rome. They were conquered by Rome. Before Rome, it was the Greeks. Before the Greeks, it was the Assyrians. Before the Assyrians, it was the Babylonians. Before the Babylonians, it was the Egyptians. The Jews have been a conquered people. The Messiah is going to set them free from being conquered. We're never going to be ruled anymore by these outside powers. He says the captives will be released. The blind will see. You see, that's how you're going to know it's the Messiah. He's going to do extraordinary things. The oppressed will be set free. And at that time, the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and he just sat down. So it goes from a pregnant pause. You know what a pregnant pause is? Here's a pregnant pause. That's a pregnant pause. Then it goes to an awkward pause. Here's an awkward pause. Isn't that weird? He handed it back to the attendant. He sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Why? Because you're supposed to talk. Then he began to speak. He said, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. You know what he just said? I'm the one Isaiah talked about. You ever meet somebody from a small town? Every small town has somebody famous or semi-famous from their town. They tell you, oh yeah, I'm from nowhere, but so-and-so's from here. They're from here. They don't come here anymore, but they were from here. Right? That's what people always say. Oh, you know so-and-so, they went to my high school. They went to my college. They went to my town. They live in my town. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine the Son of God? The Son of God is from Riverside? Take that, Newport Beach. Bam. You live by the water. We walk on the water. Right? I'm gonna 401k you. Come here. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down. All the eyes on the synagogue are looking at him, and he says, it's me. It's me. And you know what that means? It means we win. Oh, we won. Yeah, thank God we won. We're so happy. This is so great. It says everyone spoke well of him. Everyone spoke well of him. Everybody loves a sermon when you agree. So, yeah, one person, amen. Amen. The rest of you are like, well, I don't know. Everyone spoke well of him, underline this, and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. Can you imagine listening to Jesus preach? Can you imagine? Everyone spoke well of him. Everyone was amazed at the words that came from his lips, and they said, how can this be? How can this be? They asked, isn't this Joseph's son? And some of you don't pick up on the insult. Jesus is from a small town. You know how much of your business they know in a small town? All of your business. It's not your business, it's the business. It's the town gossip. You see, everybody knows that Joseph was betrothed to Mary.
Something happened. It was the Holy Spirit. Right.
Isn't this Joseph's son, or is it Joseph's son? Who is this guy? So they poke at him, and then he said, you will undoubtedly quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself, meaning do miracles here in your hometown like you did in Capernaum. You see, they've heard, this guy is making the rounds. He's doing amazing things. He says, but I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. He says, certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time. Now, some of you don't know who Elijah is, but he's the most powerful prophet in the Old Testament, does amazing miracles. He said, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years, a severe famine devastated the land. Now, think about Israel. Israel's just like California. It hasn't rained in a couple months in our state. Look what happened. Imagine if it didn't rain for 3.5 years in California. None of us are left. We're all burned. We're all on fire. It's over. It's done. Yet, what does he say? When the heavens were closed for 3.5 years, a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was not sent to save one Jew. Listen to what it says. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow from Zarephath in the land of Sidon. He says God could have saved plenty of women in Israel, plenty of Jewish women whose husbands had died, whose children were orphans, but God didn't send Elijah to the people of Israel. He sent them to a foreigner. And then he says this, and many in Israel had leprosy. Leprosy is one of the great diseases of the ancient world. If you don't know what it is, it's an infection that literally infects first your fingers, then your thumbs, then your ears, your nose. All of your extremities die, rot, and fall off. It's a beautiful, ugly disease. He says this, and many had leprosy in the time of the prophet Elisha, who comes immediately after Elijah, but only one was healed, and his name was Naaman, a Syrian. And some of you don't know your Bibles and you don't know who Naaman is, but Naaman is the commanding general of the forces of Assyria who conquered Israel. Jesus just said, when one of Israel's most powerful prophets walked the earth, he didn't heal Jews, he healed the enemy's general. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue, circle this word, they're furious. They're mad. They're angry. Why? Because God is not interested in doing what they want him to do. God is interested in doing what he wants to do. They were furious, jumping up. They mobbed him and forced him to the edge of a hill on which the town was built. Remember they praised him? Now they want to kill him. Oh, it's Jesus. He's our hometown. We love him. We love him. He's great. He's awesome. They intended to push him over the cliff. The problem is he's God. And so he passed right through the crowd, probably mad dogging him. It doesn't say that in text, but that's what I've been doing. What now? What now? How on earth at church do you go from going, praise God, to kill him? Kill him. How on earth does that happen? How do you get from so excited, point one, to point three, we're finding a new church? Listen to me. Jesus wants to set me free from my anger. What kind of anger? Write this down. Your political anger. People always say, Pastor Matt, why don't you speak more on politics? If I said Jesus was a Democrat, half of you would leave. The other half of you would go, amen, it's about time. Those people are going to hell anyways. If I said today, we need to pray for President Trump, half of you would be offended and you'd refuse to pray, even though the Bible commands you to pray for him, whether you voted for him or not. You'd say, I'll pray, dump Trump. I'll pray that. Man, we have political anger. Has anybody seen what's happened this week in the news? A young, beautiful girl on her way to college. Murdered, missing. And all the left and the right can do is use her as a ping pong ball as they smack at each other, forgetting the fact that if it was my girl, I'm never going to be right again. We can't even pause as a culture and go, oh my God, that's terrible, that's evil. We have to blame. And it's not the right and it's not the left, it's all of us. It's all of us. We're so politically angry. People post their thoughts everywhere, on Instagram, on Twitter, and it's filth pouring out of our mouth. Why? Because the problem isn't a political one. It's in each and every one of us. Anybody ever gone to the bathroom in a public restroom? Raise your hands if you ever did that. Some of you don't do that. You're like faithful. Anybody ever use a public restroom? Has anybody ever noticed the writing on the walls in a public restroom? I'm always amazed at that. Like, when you were potty trained as your kid, did your mom say, now remember your Sharpie? Who carries a Sharpie into the restroom? Or you're like, dang it, I forgot my Sharpie. Here's a lighter. I'm gonna burn this in here. I'm gonna be in here for a while. I'm always amazed at the commitment level it takes to burn a message into a restroom. This must be heard. Ah! Hey, aren't you always amazed? Like, I don't go to the restroom to express myself. I don't do that.
You know, I'm gonna share my thoughts.
Okay, but here's the thing. Has anyone noticed that sometimes people respond?
I'm not gonna let that go. I brought my Sharpie.
What is wrong with us? We can't even go to the restroom and rest. We've got to express our opinion and respond. How many of you on Facebook?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I must respond. That person's idiotic. I'm going to argue with an idiot.
What does that make you? Listen to what Jesus says. You've heard what the law says. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And you're like, amen.
Too bad my neighbor is my enemy.
Dude, I went to Idaho this summer. And if you don't know, Idaho is conservative. Crazy conservative. Literally. In the town that we were in, a guy robbed a woman, stole her purse, got shot by just a random dude carrying a gun, ran to the other end of the parking lot and was killed by another guy that was like, oh, well, it didn't work. And neither of those guys went to jail. They were just like, right on, brother. That's Idaho. Think about it. Don't rob up there, man. It's not the place to commit a crime. You will die. So I go to my brother-in-law's house and he's super conservative and his neighbor has a sign out and it says impeach Trump. I said, what's that about? He said, that's for me. Two neighbors, they look at each other every day. Both putting signs out. That's healthy for the neighborhood. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Amen. God doesn't want to heal Naaman. God should kill him. Oh, but God saved him. But Jesus says, I say, love your enemies. Oh! And pray for those who persecute you. Oh, but it's not fair. It's not fair, right? I've been mistreated. I've been alienated. I've been put down. It's time for me to speak up. Jesus says, here's how you speak up. You pray up. There's no verse that says march, protest. It says pray. Pray.
No. Because I want to hate my enemy.
He says, pray for those who persecute you. Here's, you want to know why they killed Jesus? It's sermons like this. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, imagine you have to walk everywhere you go. Imagine it is as hot as it is in Southern California. And you're on your way and you're walking and we're conquered. We're not America. We're conquered by somebody else. And that other foreign country soldier comes up to you and demands, think about it, you're pushing your kids in your trolley, you're carrying your groceries, you're still mad because you forgot your bags, right? And you had to pay $1,000 for your bags, and you can't drink your drink because straws are illegal, and you're mad, right? You're mad because in Sacramento, straws, that's the evil of the world. It's hate straws, right? Some of you are like, yeah, they suck. They do. I don't know that that'll make the internet version. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, which legally a Roman soldier could make you carry their crap, Jesus says, carry it too.
Kill him.
Kill him. Kill him. You see, but that's not fair. Jesus says, carry 2 miles. That's not right. Carry 2 miles. That's racist. Carry 2 miles. That's bigoted. Carry 2 miles. That's sexist. Carry 2 miles. Listen, you are either living for this life or the next life. Jesus says, if you're living for the next life, carry it too. Carry it too. Oh, but I got to march. I got to protest. I got to do this. I got to do that. Jesus says, carry it too. And some of you that support Trump, you're like, this country needs to be unified. You didn't feel that way when Obama was in office. Right? If I said pray for Obama, you'd say, your mama. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. Democratic Christians only want to follow the scriptures when there's a Democrat in office. Republicans only want to follow the scriptures when there's a Republican in office. What if we were just obedient regardless of who is in office? And we just started following Jesus. What if we did that? I'm just so angry. Yeah, Jesus knows. So were his hometown. They hated the Romans. Literally. They're like, to hell with the Romans. Jesus is like, no, actually, I came to bring him to heaven. They're like, no. He's like, yeah. They're like, okay, we got to kill you. We're going to throw you off the cliff. They hated the Romans. Do you know this? That every rebellion against the Roman Empire started in the north where Jesus was from? Every single rebellion started in the north, started in the Galilee region. They hated the Romans. Jesus said, I came to save them. Next, Jesus wants to set me free from professional anger. Anybody work with idiots? Raise your hands. Anybody work with liars? Anybody work with backstabbers? Anybody work with your friend until they need a promotion and then they step on your neck? Oh, I didn't see your neck there. Sorry, you didn't get the raise. Anybody have to commute on the 91 freeway? Huh. That almost makes you want to die. Man, we have some professional anger. Do you know why? We work with people. Right? Always cracks me up. Parents have their infants. Oh, I love them so much. You know you're raising a person. It's going to raise up. That's people. We work for people. Like, if you have a boss, the boss is an idiot. You become the boss, your people are an idiot. Do you know why? We're all idiots. Professional anger. Listen to what the Bible says. Work willingly at whatever you do, as long as it's moral. Don't give me legal. Well, it's legal. I have a card. Yeah, somebody got that. Our pot smokers will get it in a minute. Love this church. Takes a second. Work it willingly at whatever you do. Young people, what's God's will for my life? Get a job. But I just want to fulfill my passions. Yeah, God's passion is that you work. That's not fun. Amen. Welcome to life. Some of my kids say, adulting is hard. Yes. It is. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Why? Have you met a person? Have you met one? The more of us you get together, oh, joy. Joy. Colossians 3:13. Make an allowance for each other's faults. People have faults. People make mistakes. Make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Americans, we are professional offendees. We are offended by everything. God forbid we ever go to war again. All our enemies have to do is just write a strongly worded letter, post on Twitter. We're like, oh, we give up. Make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. How many of you have ever made a mistake? Raise your hands. Right? How many of you have ever been driving down the freeway and taking your eye off the road just for a second? Maybe it's a tasty burger. Right? Whose idea was that? Should it be legal to serve tacos in drive-thru? I don't think so. Tacos don't work. It goes in your lap. They should call them lapos instead of tacos. It's terrible. But I try every time. I can do it this time. Oh.
You ever taken your eyes off the road just for a second and you look up and you almost ram right into the back of somebody, but you narrowly avoid it and you're like, oh, thank God, thank God. Anybody ever done that? Thank God. Thank God. That happened to me this week. I was going to Redlands to pick something up. Last day of work, just finished my sermon on anger. I don't know about your car, but my car has a computer screen because that helps me pay attention to the road. Look at all these buttons. Oh yeah, I'm driving at 80 miles an hour. Not 80, I don't speed. So I almost get in an accident. I literally screech the tires, slide over to the side, narrowly miss hitting somebody. And I'm like, thank God, thank God, thank God. Two more exits later, I'm getting off Alabama Street in Redlands. It's a red light, so I stop, because that's the law. Person behind me is a lawbreaker. Bam, hits the back of me. Crashes right into the back of me. Whiplash, and I'm like, oh, praise Jesus. This is an opportunity to minister to a broken human being. He just did what I just did 5 minutes earlier, but I'm like, you're gonna pay. We pull over into the gas station. He gets out of his delivery truck. Yeah, I can't just get rear-ended by like, you know, like a Yugo or something, man. I mean, you know, where are the Priuses when you need them, right? You know, right? Get an accident with a Prius, you're just like, we're good. We're good. Boom, he hits me. He gets out of his truck. I'm not making this up. This is what he says. Did I hit you? No, we're pulled over at the gas station to have a conversation as complete strangers. Yes, you hit me. Yes, you hit me. He goes, oh my gosh, it's my first week at work. I'm a new driver. I'm probably gonna get fired. I go, yep, probably are. I was not grace-filled at all. Totally mad, totally mad. Big dude. He's talking to his boss. I can tell he's just getting reamed. He hangs up the phone. He says, man, I need this job. I'm like, man. I said, you want to pray together? He's like, that's weird. I'm like, it's okay, I'm a pastor. He goes, where? I go, sandals. He goes, never heard of it. I wanted to like smack him for that one. Really, you've never heard of it? You're probably going to hell. Let's pray. We prayed together. I could just feel this big burly dude just start to break. And I said, God, I pray that he doesn't get fired. I pray that he can feed his family, take care of his family. Lord, we all make mistakes and we need grace. Lord, I forgive him. I know you forgive him. I pray that his boss will forgive him. I said, amen. He said, man, thanks so much. He said, man, I hit you really hard. Remember what he said at first? Did I hit you? No, not really. Let me pick up my leg. Right? So I'm chill, I'm cool. I go over to the store in Redlands. I go to buy my product. Needed some energy stuff for my training. I go and pick it up. I get my box. The lady says, look who's greedy. You ever get the crazy feet where you're just like, you're gonna die right now, right? You're just like, I'm buying stuff in your store. And I'm greeted with, look who's greedy. You need to die now. Like, where's the cliff when you need one, right? Just the Jesus cliff. Come here, let's pray. Oh. I was gonna pray when I started. She really said that. Look who's greedy. Look who's stupid. Oh. Life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. Why do people say what they say? Why do people, you know, when I meet people, they say, you're a lot taller in person. Do you know what runs through my mind? Not good things. Wow, you're a lot less friendly in person. Right? Life is hard. Work is hard. Do you realize that when you go to work on Monday, the same idiots are going to be on the highway? Do you realize that you probably drive with the same group of people every day? You're like, who are these people? The same people you'll be with for the next 20 to 25 years. Make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you.
No.
Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
Dang it. Ugh.
But you know why it is? We don't really have political anger, and we really don't have professional anger. You know what we have? Write this down. We have personal anger. Does anybody have somebody in their life, somebody special, that just pushes your button? You know I'm talking, that special person. Special person. One time I did a wedding, and the mother-in-law pinched the bride's arm fat. Yeah, smooth move, Mom. Smooth move. I looked at the bride and I said, the good news is you'll probably die in 20 or 30 years. Until then, seatbelt. Does anybody just have somebody pushes your button? Mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother, sister, mom, dad, spouse. And this is what we say. Man, that person, they just make me so angry. Stuff just comes out. They just push my buttons, and I don't understand. When they used to let me do marriage counseling. I'm not very good at it. Like, people confess stuff. I'm like, dang. That's crazy. Well, sorry. I used to ask people this. Oh, she just pushes my buttons. I said, why do you have a button? I like my button. I need it there so people can press it. You see, the reason stuff comes out is not because people rattle you. It's because there's stuff in there. And this is what church is. Some of you, our society doesn't believe that they need to go to church. Church is the only place where we look in here. It's the only place left. Here's what the world says. It's not your fault. It's everybody else. Here's what Jesus says. Let's look in the bucket. And you're like, kill him. Kill him. Where's the cliff when you need it? Here's what Jesus says. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. I never hear Christians talk about this verse. If you can't forgive people, I'm gonna guess you're not forgiven. So how do I deal with my anger? Number one, can we just agree that it's unhealthy? Listen to me, guys. For most men, the only emotion we're comfortable sharing is anger. What if instead of yelling at your wife in a rage, you just said, I'm really afraid? What if you yelled this? Intimacy is terrifying. I would rather kill 1,000 people than cry. Right? Just agree that it's unhealthy. It's gonna kill you. Guys, look at your wife. She's gonna outlive you. Statistically, it's inevitable. And do you know why that is? Because we go, that's why. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Agree that it's unhealthy. You ever been to a Little League game and people are screaming at the 6-year-old, get angry and hit that ball? That's helpful, right? That's a skill you need in life. When you're angry, swing a bat. You'll get that on the way home. Thank you. Next, identify your triggers.
You know what gets you going. If you're going to drive on the 91 freeway tomorrow, you know. Half of what makes you angry is you're surprised. Oh my gosh, my mother-in-law said that again. Right? Married people, you know your triggers. You know. And so you know what you do? When your spouse triggers you, you fire right back.
Oh, you think that's true? Ba-poo.
Because that helps. And you trigger each other. My wife got really upset this week for about 3 hours. You know what I said to her? I said, wow, you got over that really quickly. She says, well, you didn't lose your mind. I was like, yes, I didn't. Right? Isn't that funny how we respond when somebody else is upset? Oh, you think you're upset? Well, I'm upset too. I'm upset because you're upset. Identify your triggers. This is the 91 freeway. Is it somebody at work? Is it somebody at church? Is it somebody in your community group? Oh, you came again. Guess I get to practice forgiveness again. Next, seek wise counsel. Some of you don't have a wise friend. You're surrounded by stupid people. Look at all your friends. Just look at them. These are the people that are giving me guidance. See, some of you just looked around, you went, oh no. Mockers can get a whole town agitated, but the wise will calm anger. You know what my prayer for America is? That we could have one newscaster that's wise. Just one. They probably won't last long. They'll get thrown off the cliff by Friday. America tonight is not the end. We're all going to make it. We have more in common than we have apart. Kill him! Right? Mockers can get a whole town agitated, but the wise will what? Calm down. It's okay. And then lastly, here's how we're going to close. Hand it over to God. You can't carry this. You can't. Oh, but it was wrong. Yep, it was. Oh, but it was evil. Yep, it was. Oh, but it hurt so bad. Yes, it did. Ephesians 4:13 doesn't say pray about getting rid of all bitterness. It says get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander. You're like, thank God it didn't mention my sin, as well as all types of evil behavior. God's got you. Get rid of it. Let it go. Get it out. Release it. Why? Ephesians 4:26. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Here's why your life is terrible. Because you are not controlled by God. You are controlled by the devil. Listen to what it says. Don't sin by letting anger control you. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Some of you have this written on your doorsteps at home. It says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You need to get rid of that and say, devil, come in. Devil, run this house. Satan, watch over my family. That's what anger does. It says, come on in. No alarm system, no gate, no security, and no gun can keep the devil out of your house if anger has let him in. Listen to me. Some of you missed it this week. You miss it. Right? The whole Molly Tibbetts issue, back and forth, left and right. Did you hear what the young man said? Here's what he said. I don't know what happened. One moment I was following her, and the next moment I blacked out. Do you know why? Murder is demonic. It's demonic. And if we don't handle our anger, it will handle us. Us. And America's missing it. Immigration, illegal immigration. The issue is anger. That's the issue. And if we're not careful, it's not going to be one young person that dies. The whole country's going to die. That's what anger does. We need to release it. We need to let it go. We need to give it to God today. Now, here's the thing. Here's what you believe. Oh, I'm just going to talk to my husband. Don't you put that on him. He can't handle it. Oh, I'm going to talk to my wife. They can't handle it. I'm going to talk to them. They can't handle it. Only person that can handle your anger and remain unaffected by it is Jesus. It's Jesus. That's the only person. You bring your anger to him. Listen to me. As they crucified him, as they killed him, here's what Jesus said. As the nails are being pounded into his arms, as he's hanging on a cross with thorns gushing blood out of his head, here's his words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is not going to come down to your level. He wants to bring you to his. He will not be affected. Man, in just a second, we're gonna have the offering. And a lot of you guys, you're like, oh, this, I hate the offering part. It's the most important part every week. They're not just buckets, they're opportunities for you to offer up your life to God, for you to offer up your finances to God. It's an opportunity every single week for you to say, God, you're God and my money's not. God, you're God, and I put my trust in you, not in this. God, you're God. This week, it's not just the money that needs to go in there. For some of you, it's your mother-in-law. Put her in there. She'll fit. For some of you, it's Donald Trump. He'll fit. He'll fit. For some of you, man, it's Facebook. For some of you, it's your mom, your dad. Somebody that's hurt you, it's your boss, it's your employees. Put it in the bucket and say, Jesus, take this from me. I can't handle that. Get rid of it all, Jesus says. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we take the offering, Lord, so many of us need to put so much more than money today in the bucket. God, we need to empty our buckets and we need to fill yours. God, take away our rage, take away our anger, take away our hurt, our shame. Take it away. Help us to release it. We're so angry, we're so hurt, we're so upset. Help us to drop it in the bucket, we pray in Christ's name, amen.